You're listening to Money Never Sleeps Radio. In your face.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
Oh, have I got your attention now?
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
You know what I mean?
Money to be made in a place like this.
Money never sleeps, pal.
You're crazy. Don't run when you lose. Don't whine when it hurts.
You know what it takes to sell real estate?
It takes brass.
I'm falling, and I can't get up.
All right, welcome to Money Never Sleeps. This is a show where we talk about anything and everything that impacts the flow of money from around the corner to around the world. And I want to thank you for joining me today for this episode. We're going to focus on something really interesting that is actually going to not only shake up the NASDAQ market, but also going to shake up any OTC market. And that's a new rule that was passed on July 22nd, that's the NASDAQ $5 million market value of listed securities MVLS rule. Basically, your securities out there have to be, you know, they multiply by your aggregate bid and whatever, and then they come up with a number. All right, so your stock has to be above, you know, valued above $5 million. Now, will you have companies that do funny business? Well, they used to, right? They used to, because then they would get a reprieve for about 180 days to be able to turn things around. Then they'll go and they can't do it because they didn't put the work into it, or whatever the case may be, or they got involved in a toxic situation. And then what winds up happening? They wind up doing a reverse stock split, killing the shareholders time and time again, and that's the game. That's the game that the NASDAQ wants to get rid of, and they also want to knock out the SPAC game. This is also going to knock out, you know, OTC listed companies that are on the OTC markets, whether OTCQB and the like, from actually uplisting easily. It's not going to be that easy anymore. The game has changed, and they're doing it for a reason. They're transitioning into the next evolution of things. All right, and I've spoken about this on the show a number of times. Tokenization and transparency and truth and all this stuff is going to be at the forefront. And NASDAQ, they need to compete globally. They want to wipe out all the dirty laundry. And you have a lot of companies, to be quite honest with you, that have been coasting for a while. And that's going to end. You know, they have 30 days to comply once they get notified. And if they don't comply, well, a few things can happen. A few things can happen. Okay. And just so you know, they have to be, it has to stay above that 5 million threshold for 30 consecutive business days. All right, 30 days. All right, so you're going to see a lot of companies faltering. Anyway, so after that, the NASDAQ, they have the ability easily to immediately suspend trading. They'll issue that staff delisting determination, and they'll begin the delisting proceedings, which will happen pretty quickly. And they're not going to even give a cure period for the companies to be able to turn things around, because they're tired of playing the game. And companies that have been on the NASDAQ for a while, that have been going through this cycle of dropping behind below the threshold, popping back up, getting involved in toxic debt, and doing all this stuff just because they want to keep the public company alive, you know, the game has come to an end. And this rule is applying across all tiers: global select, global market, capital market, across the board. And there's no transition period. This is in effect now, as of July 22nd. All right, so about a week ago. Now, the impact that this is going to have on blank check companies, a.k.a. SPACs, you know, they SPACs already face a heightened listing standards, right? You have a lot of SPACs out there that they meet the requirements and they're fine. You have others that you have shells that are created, and they're shells. They're blank check companies, they're shells, and they're there. And they have a price, but there's no market on it. So they keep that alive to try to do a deal. they try to sell the shell and do a reverse merger and have that type of deal. And that's been going on for decades. You have legitimate SPACs out there that are looking for legitimate companies to actually do something on point to make it successful, and those will be around. But the ones that are on the other side of the fence, well, they're going to be they're going to be slipping, because this rule states that SPACs now they have to maintain at least $5 million in that NVLS at all times. Even before announcing the merger, even during the redemption waves, during the market volatility, during the post-merger transition periods, they have to comply. And if they don't comply, they have a problem. And the big question is, why SPACs are at risk? Well, I'm going to tell you why. They usually trade near trust value, probably about $10 a share. And they can fall below the NVLS threshold if redemptions reduce public float. Shares, they trade thinly. Market value drops due to uncertainty. Post-merger volatility occurs. So if that NVLS dips below 5 million for 30 days, the NASDAQ will suspend trading immediately. No cure period. That's it. End of story. Okay, and SPACs are directly impacted by this rule. And this, materially increases the delisting risk for SPACs. And that's some truth, right? Now, you have, for many years, for those that are, that are in tune to the microcap market, forever, reverse mergers have been the thing. Yeah, someone creates a shell, a lawyer, a firm, whatever, they create a shell, but together they spend, 10-20 grand, whatever it is they spend on it, they put it together, they do it, they sell it, they get a reverse merger. And you have a lot of times this is being done on the OTC markets. They do that and the company rolls into it, and it's the hopes that they're going to bump up, they're going to uplist to the NASDAQ. Well, that is changing. Actually, no, that's not changing at all. It's changed already. It's changed. So that game is going to be about over. And the reverse mergers, typically they involve small private companies that are merging into a public shell. They want to have access to the capital markets. They usually have low market value, and they thin trade. They thinly trade. Let me just get my words together because I'm so excited about speaking about this topic. They trade very thinly. The volume isn't there, and that's where they're going to have a lot of problems. And the reality is that most of these reverse mergers, they already have an NVLS below 5 million if you look at them. And if they do have that, okay, on the OTC markets, they're not going to uplist the NASDAQ. And when I was talking about the NVLS being below 5 million, I was directly referring to the OTC markets. Because typically there'll be little companies with little volume and just prime for toxic debt to come in, or toxic situations where they'll go and you issue a bunch of stock, they give you a couple of bucks, and guess what? They're selling into you time and time again. You'll never get under that thumb. That's like the mob, okay? You gotta be careful who you deal with, and that's for sure. That's for sure. So anyway, with those type of deals, it's going to be hard for them to uplist, to near impossible to uplist. And they can't, if you're on the NASDAQ and you can't maintain that NASDAQ listing, and if you get knocked down, it reduces your credibility, and look, I don't care what anyone says, you're on the NASDAQ, you're out there, and you get knocked to the OTC markets, it's a different animal. And because there's no cure period, there's no time to fix it. There was a time before July 22nd when you could fix it. They were nice. They said, you know what? We want to give you the opportunity because we care about the capital markets. Fix it. You have 180 days. And they'll go, put out the announcement. They'll try to have a cure. They'll link up with some group. They'll prop it up. They'll get the satisfaction letter, and then it's back to square one. you know, and that's the reality, you know, because a lot of times, you know, they would do that. They would raise capital, like they'll do, and you know, have investor relations involved, the IR guy doing stuff, and that they can't do that anymore. It is no longer possible. All right. And the reverse mergers into, you know, NASDAQ shells, well, they can, right now, they can be functionally dead unless the shell already is over that threshold. If they are, they're good to go. They're fine. And you have a lot of SPACs out there, shells, that are fully funded. They're waiting for a deal, the right deal. But you have companies that are a little sus, and so you know those are the ones are going to suffer the most, you know. So this essentially is eliminating that cheap uplisting route, go OTC and then bump up, you know. And I believe that the New York, the NYSE American, and other exchanges are going to follow suit because it makes sense. Keep it clean and have solid companies that, you know, give investors a chance, and it'll prevent a lot of scams from happening. Okay, and that's the reality. You know, they did this because they want to strengthen the investor protection. They want to remove these illiquid microcaps from the exchange because they're a drain. You know, I mean, it impacts the whole composite, you know, and it's going to prevent these low value shells from remaining listed on the exchange. And this, you know, the New York Stock Exchange itself has these standards. You know, as far as the New York Stock, the NYSE American, I'm not 100% sure, but they may fall in line with that too. And if that's the case, you know, where else can these OTC market companies go if they want to uplist? They better build up the company. And again, it's a little difficult when you're on the OTC market. Somebody says, what do you trade? I trade on the NASDAQ. Okay, a little respectable. Oh, I trade on the OTC markets. Oh, well, you know, that's not the NASDAQ. Okay, that's like the minor leagues. You're not in the big game. And that's the way they look at it. And again, some people may get upset with me because I say this, but, you know, facts are facts. Facts are facts. So this new rule is going to significantly impact SPACs and companies that are on the OTC markets that are looking to uplist. And companies on the OTC markets, you know, look, they're microcaps, they're thinly traded, they have low MVLS, they, you know, a lot of times you have their shells and the development stage companies, okay, they're blank check companies. And they don't meet the requirements, so they're going to stay there for some time. So if a company does reverse into it, you know, they have to understand that they're going to be on that market for a while. So why not just go through the process and list directly on the OTC markets if that's what you want to do, right? Yeah, I mean, it can be done. It can be done. Again, a lot of these OTC issuers, they fall below that threshold. Okay, and this rule is going to almost eliminate these OTC uplistings, the MVLS requirement is now binary, right? So if your MVLS goes below 5 million for 30 days, no uplisting is allowed. If your MVLS, you know, is below 5 million after an uplisting, immediate suspension. Immediate end of listing. You jump up, you jump down. You jump up, you get kicked down. There's no cure period again. Okay, the game has changed, and the ones that are going to have a good handle on this game are your attorneys, your transfer agents. They have a good idea of what's happening, and they can guide you better if you're in a situation. But you know, truth be told, if you are, you know, if you're in a bad way and you're already below this threshold and you're looking to get out of it, well, good luck. You know, we've tried to help companies prior to all this stuff happening, and they chose not to. They chose not to, and I couldn't believe it. They chose not to. They thought that they were better than the average bear, smarter than the average bear. They thought that they had something that, you know, couldn't be touched. They thought they had something that was valued more than what we were going to do and help them with. And what wound up happening? one after the other, knock down, and there's going to be more happening now, you know. And it's a shame, because you had some companies that had possibilities, they had opportunity. But when you have a CEO that can't get out of his own way because he thinks he knows better than everyone, and is these guys that destroy companies. You know, if your company is on the brink of being delisted and killing shareholder value, why would you not go and entertain viable opportunities? And that still blows my mind to this day. But a lot of these OTC companies, they sit between $500,000 and $3 million in MVLS. And that's below the threshold, right? You know, they're thinly traded, low float, you know, and the reality is, you know, they can't, it's going to be hard for them to organically reach that threshold. You know, they're going to need major financing, a major acquisition, maybe a major restructuring, something that has to be something that is going to spark that. Has to be something that's going to spark that. And, you know, the reality is you still need the funding. If you don't get the funding, how are you going to do the deal? How are you going to get all this stuff done? Again, on the NASDAQ, it was a lot easier to do these type of deals. When you're on the OTC markets, it's a little harder to do these deals. And now the OTC markets are going to be booming with business. And that's a fact. They're going to be booming. That is your last hurrah as far as things go. You know, the only other option is to, you know, look at, you know, tokenization. But the reality is that, you know, your company's already in the crapper. Okay, if you haven't tended to building the value, the shareholder value of your company, and you were given, I mean, this rule was, you know, thrown out there a couple of years ago, and then last year, and there was more than enough time for companies to comply and do things. If you chose not to, you brought it upon yourself, right? Okay. So anyway, the OTC shells that you have out there, you know, they again, low MVLS, low float, low liquidity, and they're not going to be able to meet those requirements. So even if you do it, and you reverse merge into one of these shells, the chances of you meeting the requirements and everything else is going to be difficult. Because remember, when you do these deals, you're going to have people with shares out there. They're going to wait for you to bring it up and knock you down. And you're going to have a lot of funny business that happens with on the OTC market. So, if somebody doesn't want you to move up, they'll try to capitalize by not allowing that to happen in their ways. Now, what ways are those? You know, they're a multitude. I'm not getting into it. You know, I'm not in that business. You know, but there are people that do things, right? All right, so, you know, the some of the strategies for, you know, OTC companies that may want to, you know, bump up at some point, which I would think that they would want to uplist, okay, is raising capital, you know, and improving the value of your company. Look at an acquisition, okay? Try to improve liquidity if you can, all right? These are the only cures that are viable to go and meet the thresholds, because, again, if you're on the NASDAQ and you get knocked down, there's no cure period, so good luck. On the OTC markets, you can, you know, as long as you meet their higher threshold requirement, you can rock and roll and try to do it. However, just remember, when you're down there, you know, it's like junior varsity, and you have varsity, which is a NASDAQ, so it's that type of thing. And again, this rule that came in, it was to crack down on microcaps and shells and reverse mergers and low value issues and OTC uplisting arbitrage and a lot of these things. The NASDAQ, they want higher quality issuers. You know, they have some serious companies on there, and they want to go and clean house. They want good companies on there that are going to give investors what they're looking for. And now with the NASDAQ tokenizing, they're going to want these quality companies on there, because you don't want to go in and tokenize a company that's going to go and be, is going to get knocked down, or is going to rock the boat, I guess. Okay, so they want high quality issuers with high liquidity, and they want to reduce the micro cap fraud risk. Okay, and as far as the NASDAQ goes, OTC uplistings, you know, they're collateral damage. Okay, and that's the way it is. It's just, you know, they're trying to clean house. So, you know, the uplistings from the OTC markets, collateral damage, it is. It's financial war. That's what they're declaring, financial war. Okay, so it's going to change things. Okay, and now again, microcaps, thinly traded issuers, reverse merger shells, development stage companies, they're not going to be able to uplist at all. Okay, if you have a company on the OTC markets, they're going to have to raise money to get to that point and then some. And if, here's the thing, and this is the crazy thing, if a company is near that threshold, they possibly could stay on the NASDAQ or uplist, but it's going to be difficult for them. It's not easy. Okay, and this rule, and you're going to love this percentage. This rule is going to knock out 80, maybe even 90% of the OTC issuers from uplisting eligibility. Boom, that's it. Okay, so the game that we know and love so much is gone. No more. Okay. But the exciting thing about the NASDAQ is that they will be tokenizing. Okay. And you have the CME. They're doing stuff. They're going to have a 5-day, 23-hour trading on equities, synthetics, but still, it's good for traders. You have the New York Stock Exchange. They're going to tokenize. You have the DTCC, okay, the Depository Trust Company. They are going to tokenize treasuries in October. And I'm telling you, that's a hop, skip, and a jump from tokenizing anything that they have custody of. All right, so anything you have at DTC is on the table. And that means that the whole market is on the table, which means that you're going to have tokenization up the kazoo, and it's a beautiful thing with the convergence of TradFi and DeFi, and a lot of great things are going to happen there. All right, anyway, I think that's it for this episode of Money Never Sleeps. I really wanted to get into the NASDAQ, OTC, and all this other stuff. I know I tripped on my words, but hey, we're not even going to edit it. We're going to leave it at that because this is the way the show goes. Okay, good, bad, and different. We make it all happen in one take. So anyway, on that note, I want to thank you guys for tuning in and taking the time to listen to my ramblings on certain topics. I try to bring information that can be helpful, and I hope that it is. All right, on that note, I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to wish all you guys have yourself a fantastic trading day and rest of the trading week. Go make it happen. Take care.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
You're listening to UCW Radio in your face.
What is your major malfunction?
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on Money Never Sleeps Radio are for informational purposes only and should not be construed as financial advice. The host, Louis Velazquez, and guests of Money Never Sleeps Radio are not licensed financial advisors, and any investment decisions made based on information presented in this podcast are at the listener's own risk. Listeners are encouraged to consult with a qualified financial advisor or investment professional before making any investment decisions. The podcast hosts and guests do not endorse or recommend any specific investment strategies or products. All investments involve risk, and past performance is not indicative of future results.